The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and I want you to give me a call. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276, and we'll get things going. Let's see, click that right there. There's a video thing. And I want to hear from you, all right? Now, you got questions about theology, you got questions about anything, you know, all kinds of stuff. People call up. All you got to do is give me a call. I'm trying to set up some debates. I've been so busy lately. I got to set up some oneness debates. Got one in September. I got one I got to set up with a oneness group. We're going to probably fix it up today. And I have been working real hard today on the schools, trying to get these things whipped out. The schools are huge. They're just huge. We get a lot of people doing a lot of work on them, trying to get them ready. And we're slowly, you know, manifesting what we're going to manifest in the schools. You know, there's a lot there. Hey, just want to give you guys a heads up that we also have, just in case you're interested, we have a prayer ministry. If you need prayer and want to pray, then all you got to do is, contact us at prayer@carm.org, and we'd be able to, check you out. And if you have prayers, prayer requests, we have a team of people who are willing and ready to be able to help you. So, and pray for the issues. So there you go. All right. And, I was going through some stuff today, and, I thought it might be worth discussing one particular issue that a lot of Christians miss. And that issue is, of all things, the judgment that we Christians will face. Now, we have passed out of condemnation, Romans 8:1, but a lot of Christians don't know this, that we are going to face God in a judgment of our works. Now, our works are going to be judged. And you can find this in 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 12. Now, if any man builds on the foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's works. If any man's work which he has built up on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet is through fire. And so that's 1 Corinthians 3:15. The last part there, and it's just something that a lot of Christians need to be aware of. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because as I was going through the lessons and doing stuff, that stuck in my mind, and I thought, I wonder if people need to hear this on the radio, and I think I just need to give you a little bit of a lesson of it. We Christians are not going to be judged for damnation, but we are going to be judged according to our works, whether we will have a reward or a loss of reward, and that's going to be in the presence of God in heaven. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. What reward is it? Well, here's a thought. God says that he has things for us that we aren't even aware of, how good it's going to be. There's going to be reward in heaven and loss of reward in heaven. We're still going to be in heaven. But think about this, folks. What gifts do you have for God and or given by God, and how are you using them for the glory of God, for the furthering of his kingdom? Or have you buried them and don't want to use anything, don't want to risk anything before God because you might be ridiculed, you might lose a job, you might get embarrassed, whatever it might be. Consider that eternity is where we are headed. And, I want to have as many rewards as possible, but not for the purpose simply in my heart, not just for the purpose of having rewards, but for glorifying God with them. You see, we're going to be rewarded according to what we do in Christ and for the Lord. and for this kingdom and for his glory, and that's where the reward will come. And I forget what the verse is, but it talks about a revelation where we lay our crowns down before the Lamb. So we will have an opportunity in heaven to receive a reward, but it's due to his glory and his presence, and we will love to be able to praise him for what he has done in us. But there still is the responsibility that we have to move forward and do what we can for him. Don't bury your talents or your giftings. Let's get to Jamal from North Carolina. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air.
Evening, Mr. Slick. I hope that you all are doing well.
Yeah.
Had a question about when folks say, you know, thou shalt not judge.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recall the scripture saying that we can point things out to the Christians. Mm-hmm. So when we're pointing something out to another Christian or anybody, they say, well, wait a minute, you know, thou shalt not judge. I know there's something in scripture. I've heard you talk about it,
mm-hmm.
saying that, yeah, we can't judge, but we still can point out wrongs as Christian. I just wanted to get
Right, and that's 1 Corinthians 2:15. And what it says there,
okay,
let's scroll to it. For he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man or by no one. So what we are able to do is make spiritual judgments. So when it says, you know, thou shalt not judge, it's about judging for one's salvation in an arbitrary sense. We are able to make judgments, and we should make judgments. So, you know, if the Bible tells us that unless you believe that I am, as God says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins, then that's John 8:24, then we can say to somebody, look, if you reject Jesus, you will not be able to go to heaven. You need to trust in what Christ has done. Oh, you know, you can't judge me. You can't judge me. All right? And that's, you know, Matthew 7, verse 1, you know, judge not that ye be not judged. And so this is what people want to do, is they use the Bible out of context in order. There we go. It says, do not judge, so that you will not be judged, Matthew 7, 1. And unbelievers in particular will use this verse so that they can say to a Christian, don't judge me for my sin, just leave me alone.
Right.
They want to use that verse in order to continue in their sin. But it was talking about, it says, for the way that you judge, you'll be judged by your standard of measure. It'll be measured to you. That's Matthew 7, 2. And about taking the speck out of your brother's eye. You be careful about what it is that you are judging. We don't want to be hypocrites, because that's what he talked about in verse 5. Take the log out of your own eye, you hypocrite. And so he's talking about just being judgmental. Gossipy and judgmental. But we do have the right to make spiritual judgments. And so when someone says, don't judge lest you be judged, well, you say, can you judge someone's act of murder as being wrong? And they'll have to say, well, yes, then aren't you judging? And, well, yeah, that's different. Well, wait, why is it? And so you get into what it actually means in the context, because when people quote that verse, Matthew 7, 1, they are often quoting it way out of context. Okay?
Okay. All right. Very good answer. Thank you, sir. And as always, God bless.
And God bless you, man. God bless. All right. Okay. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We want to hear from you. We have several open lines. Let's get to Ray from Iowa. Hey, Ray, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, brother. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. No problem, man. What do you got,
buddy? My dad's a military man, and mm-hmm. he picked up the Baha'i faith, I believe, somewhere in Egypt or something over the years. And I'm just wondering a little more about it. He won't speak to me. Of course, I'm a born-again believer. And he got me a job many years ago, which I quit. And I've been told he says he never wants to speak to me again. And from what I understand, he says I'm supposed to be treated like an infidel, that they're supposed to try to help somebody, and then after that, you're on your own. But mm-hmm. from what I understand, Baha'i is supposed to be very loving and forgiving faith, or is he just like the rest of us? We don't practice what we preach.
Well, we have an article on Baha'i on on Karm, and it was started by a guy named Baha'u'llah. And it's a form of Islam.
Yeah,
it's a form of Islam, and but it's not. It is. It kind of came out of it and then just departed from it. And so, it teaches that God is completely sovereign, but it also teaches that there are prophets, different kinds of prophets for different areas and different ages. And so, Moses and Abraham, like Islam, are prophets, as is Muhammad and Jesus, but also Buddha would be a prophet, where neither Islam nor Christianity would recognize Buddha as a prophet, or Confucius.
Okay, because he did marry a Buddhist woman that
right.
he met overseas, so,
Yeah, and they teach the unification of the human race inside of the Baha'i faith. And it denies the doctrine of the Trinity, and it denies the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Okay.
It's just so hard because he just won't speak to me. I don't understand how a father can do that to a son, but I do have a heavenly father. So.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
If I ever do get a chance to come across him, I don't know what I would even say to him. I mean, it's rough,
all kinds of stuff.
Being in a situation like that.
That's right. You know, sometimes people in a cult, which is a world-class level cult, sometimes they need to hear, you know, a quick word of, if you die in this, you're going to go to eternal fire. Jesus says so. Mm-hmm. And, and he says, I don't want to hear from you. Okay, fine. But those words are in his head. Or you could ask something like, why is it that you aren't being loving? Doesn't the prophet Jesus teach love? Because they affirm that Jesus as a prophet.
Yes, but they also believe God sent somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Baha'u'llah, right.
Than Jesus himself. Yeah.
Right, Baha'u'llah. Yeah. Right. And so his revelation negates and supersedes others. Well, you can ask, does it contradict? Does God's revelation through the different prophets contradict each other? Well, they can't. Then why are you not being loving? So if it's the same God through all the revelations, and if that's the case, why would Jesus say he alone is the way, the truth, and the life? And since he's a prophet of God, how is it that his words could be corrupted? You know, there's all kinds of things you could say, and then they have answers, and then you can go in and take a little more practice. But if I were you, and I do feel for you, I empathize for you, I have family members who are, let's just say, won't talk to me because I'm a Christian and other stuff. And, that's just how it is. You know, you have to realize.
I mean, he travels the world and got all these high society and places. He goes all over the world and people come here. He's in the newspaper and that a lot. And I just don't get it. But one day he's going to answer, I guess. And it's sad.
Pray for his salvation. You can still pray for his salvation.
Alrighty, brother. Well, thank you very much. I'll check out the website some more.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy. All right.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. There's Mark, but hey, we got a break coming up. Hold on, Mark. We'll get back to you with these messages. Again, hey, folks, for open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. We have a few open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mark from East Bend, North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hey. My question is real easy, and it's like a two-part thing. The first thing I would like to know is, you know, which Bible do you read from? What version are you reading from?
NASB 95. Yep. That's the one I've been studying.
I go to a small...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I go to a small church, mm-hmm. and we're strictly, you know, King James Version. So yeah, a few things, that when you're quoting them and reading them, I thought, well, I'm curious what he's reading from them. So, you know, just like the caller before, you said a log and our version of the beam, you know. So right. I was curious about that. And well, when you say the Trinity.
Well, let me say, one of the advantages of reading the King James and preaching from it is it sounds spiritual, and you have extra sermon time you need to take up in explaining what it means with this, the different language issues. So that's an advantage.
I got you.
But we don't speak in these and thous here. You know, if you're out there witnessing to somebody on the beach, now, see, I grew up in Southern California most of my life, and I'd go to the beach, and I remember the first time I would start quoting the King James. People looked at me like, what? And it dawned on me instantly, wrong. Don't use that, because it stumbled people, because like, what are you talking about, these and thous? What are you talking about? And I abandoned that right away, and I went to a different version, and I ended up with the NASB, because I study apologetics, and it's a very good translation, as literal as possible to the original languages. And so I just never looked back after that. Now, the King James is fine. People want to use it? Use it. Go ahead. You know, no big deal. But it's not perfect. It messes up on a few things. Romans 5:18 is my favorite thing. I point out that it gets very wrong in this translation. But you know, it's a good translation overall. Yeah. So.
And I'm 65 years old. My daddy was a Baptist preacher, right? But it's a regular Baptist. It's not like a Southern Baptist.
All right.
And when you say Trinity, mm-hmm. which we strongly believe in the Trinity, yes, sir.
Good.
And but when you say it, I hear Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
But when they preach it, it's Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is there much difference, or am I just being King James and NSB?
Yeah, it's just a King Jamesism on the Holy Ghost. That's all. It's no big deal. It's like the word. What is the word? You know, Yod Heh Vav Heh, which is the Hebrew letters that we form Yahweh. Well, it could be Yahweh or Yuhah. You know, there's different ways of pronouncing. It's not that big a deal. You know, and Jesus in Greek is actually Jesus, E-A-I-A. So it's Jesus, really quickly.
Yeah.
And so we say Jesus, but in Spanish it's Jesus. So what's the right way to say it?
That's right.
Yeah, God knows, and we're just using a translation. It's not an issue. And so the Holy Ghost issue is the same thing. It's Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Both are fine. No big deal.
I got you, man. I just wanted your opinion there, make sure. And I told you I was easy. And I really enjoyed your program. I'm a first-time caller, and but I've been listening to you for months, man.
Okay. I hope you're learning.
And God bless you, and bless God.
Well, you know, I just want to give glory to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he took this filthy, vile occultist who was into bad stuff and saved me in spite of myself, and then used me even when I was seeking to run from him at certain times. He's the merciful King and Lord, and so he gets all the glory. That's it. So, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right,
have
brother.
Have a good evening, sir.
You too. All right, God bless. All right, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Roger from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Matt, how are you doing today?
I am doing okay. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Oh, good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Several days ago, you had a caller call in, and you were talking about demonic possession, and you were telling him that a person who was born again, saved by grace, could not be possessed.
Correct.
And you started to talk about if you could be influenced by an outside demon or not, even though you
right.
couldn't be possessed. I didn't get to hear the end of that conversation, and I was wanting to know the answer to that.
Yes, demonic forces can influence us. One of the proofs of this is in 1 Chronicles 21:1. Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So that's right there. It's recorded, 1 Chronicles 21:1. So can they influence us? Yes. That's what it says. So I have to conclude, yes, it's possible.
Even, okay. Well, that's in line with what I was thinking, too. All right. I just wanted to hear the answer to that. It's something that's been on my mind since y'all had that conversation. That's okay, all I now, got today.
All right, but I do want to clear something up, though. It does not mean, though, that we're going around being influenced by the devil in everything we do. You have to look at every corner. You know, there's a devil behind it, you know, demonic phone. That's not how it works. But just to the simple answer to the question is, can we be influenced? Yes, we can. Now, the question then becomes to what degree and how often. But if we're walking in the light, then less and less, the more we walk in the light, the less influencing demonic forces could have. Another way demonic forces could influence us is the devil, and the demonic forces have their servants, and the servants can do bad things. Even the people who don't believe that they are working with the enemy, because you either work for God or you work for the enemy. That's how it works, ultimately. So we could have bad people who are influenced demonically because they give themselves over to bad things, or even Satanism or whatever. Like the cults, you know, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Islam, the false religion of Roman Catholicism, where demonic forces are at work within those groups. Well, and those people could influence you. They could affect you. Maybe drive badly and wreck your car, you know. Who knows? So there's different ways and different levels that we can be influenced. All right?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. But the Bible says, where's that verse? Greater, let's see, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. That's 1 John 4:4. You know, I don't want anybody to worry about this stuff, okay? We are saved by grace. We're kept by grace. God indwells us. And though technically, yeah, we can be influenced in that way, what does it mean? It's not in our hearts where he's making us think things, okay? Not the enemy doesn't do that kind of a thing, not with us. So anyway, I just want to let you know, and there you go. We've got three open lines, 877-207-2276. Rick from High Point, North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air. Hello, Rick. Are you there? Rick, okay. Let's see.
How you doing, Matt?
There we go. All right.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Hanging in there. So okay. What do you got, buddy?
First off, I wanted to comment on...
There's a break.
I wanted...
We're going to break, man. Sir, there's a music. Can you hold? Hold it after the break, all right, buddy?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, three open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on here with Rick from High Point, North Carolina. Rick, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. First off, I wanted to comment on your version of the Bible's different versions on the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And you're right, depending on which one you read, version, they use both. But for me personally, I like the term Holy Spirit for one reason. God's Word says, I will leave you a comforter in the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. To me, a ghost just is too much like an entity of emptiness with no feeling or emotion. And that's just my personal opinion. So I just like to think that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Mm-hmm. But why I called, I actually called to apologize to you for yesterday. Yes, I called and you had to talk over me two or three times because legally I'm a type A and I'm very hyper. And when I get to going, I'm working on that, I get on a rant and you had to say, Rick, slow down. I really call to apologize to you for that because I treasure you as a mentor. And I disagree with you a lot, but that's okay. I treasure you as a mentor, but what I'm doing today is apologizing and I'm calling for help. Could you give me some chapters or verses in the Bible for me to study and read for my hyperness and anxiety? Now, keep in mind, I might be legally a type A, but I'm not physically ill. I mean, my health is great.
Right.
I just
it's
want
right.
you to, I want a study guide from you to help me with this. Thank you.
To help you with what? I'm just curious.
Me being hyper and anxiety, is there anything in the Bible that I could read and study that helped to slow me down? I've been like this since I was 16.
Well, it sounds to me, you know, like, well, let me ask you, how old are you?
I'm 66. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Because actually the same way. It's taken me years to slow down.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Uh-huh. And I used to speak
so
fast.
And when I listen to you, you're so calm.
Let me tell
and
you.
What now?
I've worked on that
okay.
a lot because of some verses. Colossians 3, 4 and 5. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. No, not Colossians 3, but Colossians 4, 5, and 6, which says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with
okay.
salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. And so that's one of the verses that speaks to me. And
okay.
because a lot of people don't know this, but I was a freight train. And, I'm smart, I have a memory, can think on my feet, and I would destroy people. And, of course, the Lord in his great patience corrected me. But it says in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 20 through 26, this one really got to me. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And so that really speaks to me, to be patient.
Okay.
And so I need to listen to people in order to do that. And sometimes,
okay.
a lot of times I fail. But you got to understand something else. Here's
yeah,
something else,
too,
though, is that I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing radio now for over 16 and a half years. And sometimes people will get on and they just want to bulldoze through while they're spewing heresy. And I have to stop them. And so I can't tell who's going to say what in the future. So I have to go, hey, hold on, you know.
Right.
Stuff like that. That's all. No big deal. But you're a good guy, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm going to get into the study guide. And the similarities are great. Thank you for taking the time to help me, okay? but thank you, man.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Okay. Guess that one got out. All right. Well, thanks a lot, man. Okay. Well, I don't know if that's any language, but well. Let's get to Matt from San Francisco, California. But folks, give me a call. 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Matt. Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
It's going, buddy.
So, my question is, are you familiar with the International Church of Christ?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. I think I'm being recruited.
Oh. Are you on campus someplace?
No, but I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, mm-hmm. and got a lot of universities and such,
mm-hmm.
and I happened to be at a food court with my son,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly this Bible study mm-hmm. formed around us, and most of the people were like of college age, but a couple of the guys that were in charge of the study, they were a bit older,
mm-hmm.
and we got invited to stay. And participate in the Bible study, and but then it was like talking a little bit afterwards and
mm-hmm.
being asked to go to lunch the next day, and I was like, sure,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought it was like just getting to know a fellow Christian, but there seemed to be sort of a scripted sort of thing at
yes.
the lunch, where the guys like focusing on like purity standards and the position
mm-hmm.
of the group he's with.
Yeah.
It all sounded good and everything, but it it felt kind of scripted. I'd never really heard of the International Church of Christ, and he didn't really want to get into explanation about them.
Yeah, basically it's a cult. Okay, what they're doing is they use love bombing. It's a practice that cult groups will do is they will get to know you, treat you very well, praise you a lot, help you a lot. They just love all over you. And then it lowers your guard. You think they're great. And they gradually, during this process, tell you things and get you to believe and get into the group and trust in the group. Then they recruit you to do the same kind of thing. Now, the ICC, it's called International Church of Christ, teaches that baptism is required for salvation. But before you even get baptized, you have to become a true disciple. And true discipleship is manifested in their church. And what they have is what's called, what's the word for it? Oh, man, I hate it when my mind goes blank on a certain term. But what it is they, the leaders of the group will require, it's a sin list. Are you making noise in the background there?
The traffic.
Okay. And so what they'll do is they have sin lists, and what you're supposed to do once you get in the group is have meetings with your leaders, and then you list out all your sins, literally list paper. They keep a record of your sins, then they become in control of your lives, and you're supposed to submit to the decisions of the disciples. Wow, I got a lot of noise back there, and. Regarding things, even if you're married, on your physical relations with your spouse. They try and control what jobs you take, where you move to, etc. It's a cult. Stay away from it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, I just started looking into some information online or on YouTube on my lunch break, and I was like, is this, because I thought they were calling themselves like the Bay Area International Christian Church, but I couldn't find anything online saying International Christian Church, but I'm finding International Church of Christ.
Well, find out which group, because the ICC is one thing, but there can be other groups different. Now, they might be trying to get a different name so people can't research
them. Because we did get invited. I got invited to church service on Sunday, and they were all about hugging and what you're talking about, really loving on you. And some of the people I've heard online or on YouTube saying that they used to be a part of the International Church of Christ, everything they're saying sounds very similar to the way that these people were operating and things they were focusing on, certain terms.
If you are still in contact, ask if baptism is required for salvation. But if you do go again or whatever, get literature and send it to me, because there are different groups.
Yeah, we were supposed to go to some group at a park with some people this Sunday. I don't know what to do. I'm not going to be recruited, but.
Well, I'll tell you, if I was there in the area, I'd say, dude, let's get going. I'll go with you.
Yeah.
Go.
That would be awesome.
Okay, there's a break, buddy. All right, man.
All right, well, thank you.
God bless. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
You
all right. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Michael from Utah, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. My question is about when I was a young Christian in the early 70s, I was in Utah, and a pastor who supposedly knew the Greek was in the Salt Lake area because I was going to the U of U to get a teaching certificate. And there was a little group of us who were Catholic charismatics that attended his church. And he was teaching that. I left the church right after he was teaching that it was okay to abort babies because they hadn't taken their first breath yet. And I forget
That's
which
insane.
Scriptures he was using to back that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I said, I don't know the Greek well enough to refute that, but I know that's not right. So I quit attending his
Yeah, if I were in the presence of a pastor who taught that, if I was in the presence of a pastor who taught that, I would rebuke him. I would rebuke him for such foolishness. Seriously.
Okay. Later on, I knew that the baby, the same word in the Greek, is baby, the baby in the manger and the baby that leapt in the womb, it's the same word in the Greek, so it's like... But
yeah,
I didn't
well,
know enough at the time to...
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Simple logic can be used to refute these morons who teach this stuff. So a baby somehow is not human until it takes a breath. Well, wait a minute. So in the womb, it's not breathing, but as soon as it takes a breath, now its nature has been changed from non-human to human by the act of taking a breath.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous foolishness. It is.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yep. So,
all right.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad people.
Anyway. Thanks, Matt.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, God bless.
You should have known more at the time. God bless.
Yeah, well, me too. Yeah. Get you. All right. Hey, folks, four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Moog.
Hello?
From Utah. Yeah.
Yay.
Welcome.
Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard about tomorrow's world.
Tomorrow's World. Well, I think it's a break off from the Worldwide Church of God. Okay, all right. So what I'm doing is looking on a website that has some of the stuff, and yeah, it's a cult. Okay, I'm going through some of the stuff, and it's a cult. Stay away from it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, they have bathing booklets and they have mm-hmm. the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I would like to learn more. And once I was looking for some kind of Bible study, and then I found them. They have a study that has 26 lessons. And then I took the class with them. They always sent me the book to read it. But according to them, God's head has something to and the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with as a being, as a God. It's just a
It's
energy.
It's a cult. Yeah, you just stay away from it. Okay. Yeah, and I'm going through some of the stuff and Tomorrow's World. Yeah, just another thing. I had so many things I got to work on. Maybe I'll do a little bit of an expose on them, but
I would love to. I would love to hear anything you have. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, God bless. All right.
God bless you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I don't know who this is or where you're from, but you're on the air. What do you got, buddy? Or ma'am? Or whoever? Hello? You're on the air.
Oh.
Hello?
Yes. Hello? I was just speaking to someone else. I really didn't want to be on the air.
Oh, you didn't? I'm sorry.
that some people say that we are chosen, and it's mm-hmm. a little confusing because I think that all of us have the privilege of being saved and believing that Christ died for us, and that is how we get our salvation. But
the Bible, a
lot of people who talk about being chosen.
Right. The Bible says we're chosen. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says we have been chosen for salvation. That's what the Bible says. All right, for example, all right? So I know that a lot of people are not taught this in churches because I don't know why, but it's what it says. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification. That's what it says. And also...
So he has chosen every...
No.
So he doesn't choose... He just chooses certain people, you mean?
Yeah, not everyone is chosen for salvation. I'm reading the scriptures. That's what it says. Okay, and Romans 9 talks about God has mercy on whom he desires. He hardens whom he desires. Okay. Proverbs 16:4 says that God makes everything, even the wicked, for the day of destruction. In Romans 9:22-23, it talks about vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. In Mark 4:10-12, Jesus speaks in parables so people will not be forgiven of their sins. And when I tell people stuff like this, they're shocked because they've never heard this in all the years of being in church, which is a travesty because I can quote you the references. I can quote you the scriptures. This is what it says. And that means people are not teaching the whole counsel of God. What they often are presenting is what I call the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus dressed in a woman's nightgown. And he's so gentle, and he wants everyone to be saved, that it's just completely up to you, and that's it. And it's not in the Bible. In fact, Jesus said, you cannot come to me unless it's been granted to you from the Father. John 6:65. That's what he says. Pretty shocking, huh?
Yes, especially when you're talking to people and trying to explain why they really should believe you. But I appreciate your idea about this. Thank you very much for taking the call.
All right. Well, you're welcome. Just keep studying the scriptures, because what I'm saying is right there in the scriptures. Just reading the word is what it says. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. God bless. All right. Let's get to Brian from Texas. Hey, Brian. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Brother Matt. Actually, I told your call guy I had one question. I actually had two, if you don't mind. First
sure,
question would be, I've studied logic a little bit, you know, just mm-hmm. wanted to get it clear, become a clearer thinker, but in your opinion, what's the best book or course to study traditional logic? And then my second question would
be... Well, let me answer that one first.
Let
me answer that one first.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't study logic formally. I have gone through some books on formal logic, but within 5 or 10 pages, you get lost because they do these super complex whatevers with symbols and symbolic logic. What I prefer is just to learn fallacies of logic, because if you learn the fallacies of logic, then you can identify a lot more stuff very quickly. And so what I would suggest is you just find a resource that says, you know, a list of logical fallacies. And you can go through, and I'll tell you, you can learn so much so quickly. And also, you need to study, do research on the, what's called the foundation or the classical laws of logic. The classical laws of logic. Law of identity, law of non-contradiction, law of excluded middle, law of proper inference, and things like that. And if you study those things, you'll be, you know, way ahead. Okay?
Yes.
Are you there?
Okay. And then, thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. And the second question is, a lot of, like the aberrant or false religions, they rely upon like the apparitions and like, mm-hmm. You know, seeing a false angel or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your best advice? And if you ever, somebody believed that they had a genuine spiritual experience, to not be deceived by a false spirit.
The Word of God is the final authority for the Christian and for all people, even though not all people recognize that, but it is the final and ultimate authority. The thing here, this is logic again. Logically speaking, everyone has a worldview, a perspective, a set of ideas that they use to interpret the world and relate in the world. They have presuppositions. It's a worldview. What is, are the foundations of their worldview? Do they have an ultimate standard of truth, an ultimate standard of morality? If their ultimate standard is themselves, then logically speaking, it's subjective and not absolute, because that which is a standard of based on yourself cannot be universal, because it's only for yourself. So it cannot be an ultimate standard of truth. So therefore, what we need is an ultimate standard, and the ultimate standard must rest in the heart and the mind of God. Since God is in all places at all time, and God is that universal mind, not in the New Age sense of that phrase, universal mind, but he's everywhere all the time. Truth is likewise an abstraction, as are the laws of logic. And so the law of logic, the law of identity, something is what it is and is not what it is not, is an abstraction. And you don't find that law under a rock. You can't measure the law. It has no properties like that. It occurs in the mind. But it's a universal mind. Therefore, it implies, or it's a universal truth, excuse me. Therefore, it implies a universal mind behind it, because the abstract values exist inside the universality of a mind. And so this is how you use logic about the very nature of logic and the very nature of truth. So when you're talking to people who have a subjective standard of truth, then you have to point out that their subjective standard is not universal. And because it's subjective, they can't know if it's true, because they're just using their own standard to determine truth, not the standard of God to determine the truth. And so therefore, it casts doubt on their own methodology and their own worldview. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, but like some of the people that I say I try to talk to and stuff, and they say, well, you know, the prophets and the apostles, they had these same types or similar type of experiences. You understand what I mean? And they're saying that's yes. where you get the scriptures from.
But you go to Matthew 10, Jesus gave the disciples certain authority. He didn't give it to their descendants. And the Bible, Jesus says the law and the prophets were until John, John 14, I think it is. And so there are no more prophets and apostles like that. Period. It's done. All right? It's just done. So what they're doing, when people have latter-day prophets, latter-day revelation, then they're using experience to undermine the truth of God's word. And God lets them have that self-deception because they don't trust his word, which is the final revelation of God to us in that form, okay?
Okay, sir. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, buddy. God bless. All right. Well, folks, that was perfect timing. There's the music and the end of the show. By his great grace. So we're back on here tomorrow, and I hope you're listening then. If you got a question, you think about something, write it down, and then give me a call. We can just have a nice discussion. May the Lord bless you this evening, and hopefully we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.